The title of your book, As Mom Fades Away, is quite touching, self-explanatory, and actually quite familiar to family caregivers. Can you tell me the story about how your book was developed?
Yes, I can. First I'll tell you how it didn't develop. Some people think that I probably woke up one morning and said, well, I'll write a book about this experience. Well, that's not what happened at all. The material for the book actually developed over something in excess of 3 years. In the fall of 2011, my mother was in a nursing home and had just moved into a dementia unit, also known as memory care, to a lot of facilities. And that was a very difficult time for both of us. And in that same time frame, I got involved with a local caregiver support group, and they were talking about journaling. And prior to that, like earlier in the year, my mother had fallen and gone in through a rehab program and came home, and she had 24-hour caregivers. So I had written up some background material for those people. So at the suggestion of the support group, I took that background material and I started writing about what was going on in the fall of 2011. That, again, like I said, was extremely difficult. And I found that journaling provided a big emotional release for me, which I think is important, because you got so much emotion building up inside of you, you have to release that at some point in time or it's going to cause you a lot of problems. I would almost say that journaling had a therapeutic value for me. And in late 11, I gave that material to somebody to read, and they looked at it and said, you know, this is pretty good. You ought to keep doing this. And I did. Over those next few years, every time there was some significant event, I wrote a little bit about it, and I found that it's continued to provide an emotional release for me. And something else I'd like to stress is that you have to write about the positives, not just the hard times. And that's important later on, because when that journey is over, you're left with a collection of memories. It's a very much mixed bag, and you need those positives. That is an important component when you're in a recovery stage when it's over.
Oh, I agree with you 1,000%. And actually, I really like that your book comes from the heart. It's from a family caregiver's point of view, and it's not strictly clinical, you know, analysis of caregiving. And so I think that helps a lot of caregivers.
Yeah, that gets in the run of one of the reasons of why I did this in the first place. We both know there's literally tons of books out there from a medical clinical perspective, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. But to medical practitioners, that patient, be they have dementia, Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, whatever, they're looking at that person as clinical case 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. My mother was not clinical case 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 in my mind, and I think that same applies to any other family caregiver. And I think that story of those of us who fight this in the trenches needs to be out there. And the other benefit is maybe somebody who's just starting out in that journey could get a hold of something like this and read it, and maybe they'd be going into that role a little more enlightened than I was, because I went into it blind. I was learning through the College of Hard Knocks, which works, but, you know, a little more education up front would have been better for me.
Give me some lessons that a caregiver will take away from reading As Mom Fades Away.
Well, I think we just touched on one of them. Well, this gets into the area of something I talk about in the book called Journey of Acceptance. One of the first hurdles that a caregiver has to get over is not being in denial mode. You have to accept the fact that the person has a progressive, incurable disease, and there is absolutely nothing you can do about that. And in my case, the dementia fell into that category, and her macular degeneration also fell into that category. And I think maybe for men this is a little bit of a special issue, because we like to tinker with stuff and fix it. And there was nothing here I could fix. And once I accepted that, I quickly learned that instead of worrying about what I couldn't do anything about, I would concentrate my efforts on what I could. Namely, I could either control or have some influence over her quality of care. That equals quality of life. And that's all I could do at that point. So that is probably one of the number one things, is don't get hung up in denial. Have a good realization of what you can, what you can't do, and what you can do, and focus your efforts on what you can do. And that journey of acceptance really continues through the whole cycle. As that person goes through physical and cognitive decline, I think the words I used in the book were that almost every day you have to adjust to a new normal in a world where there's no such thing as normal, because there's continuous acceptance of the progression of those diseases. And in my mother's case, she was in hospice care for just a little under a month and a half at the end, and signing on a dotted line for hospice, while it was extremely difficult, was also another point of acceptance of something else I can't do anything about, that the end is in sight. So what do? You take steps to keep the person as comfortable as possible. So I think that's a major takeaway of the whole thing, is concentrate on what you can do. When you get into a facility world, one of your primary duties, I think, is to be a strong advocate, because that person can't fend for themselves anymore, and they're dependent on us. And we really shouldn't let them down. I think one of the other lines I used in the book was not looking after a loved one in their final years is a squandered opportunity with no second chance. And I believe in that as much today as the day that I wrote it.
You know, the things I like about your phrase, journey of acceptance, are the word journey and the word acceptance. It is a trip that we take that actually... It enhances us as human beings as we come out the other end. We're different than we were when we walked in. And also, I think that the other thing about the new normal, if you can't accept the new normal, if you can't accept you're on a journey, this is going to be a whole lot tougher for you than if you do it your way.
Oh, absolutely, because if you can't accept all of that, then you're fighting everything. You know, and you're going to lose that fight every time. There's no question about that. Your comment about it changes us, I think that's absolutely true. And a lot of what maybe changed in me somewhat is partially responsible for why I evolved into the volunteer work that I do today. I'm a volunteer at one of the local hospitals 3 days a week. I also spend a little bit of time, I'll call it volunteering, with a local support group to try to share some insights and help people out a little bit. And I think I was always fairly well grounded into what's important, but I think that experience enhanced that, and it maybe confirmed in my mind what's really important.
You know, it's interesting. You talk about support groups at our Fearless Caregiver conferences. I'm always saying, at the end of it, I'm always saying, "Did you have a good time?" And everyone goes, "Yeah." You have 300 people there. I said, "Well, what you really were at is a large support group. If you want to keep this feeling going, make sure you go to an appropriate, well-led support group in your community, because these are people who get it. I call them your family of choice. Was it hard for you to accept going into a support group, and what did you learn from it, and what can you talk to us about the value proposition of support groups?
I wouldn't say it was hard to go, because I never had any problems being upfront with people about what was wrong with my mother. You know, a lot of caregivers, they don't want to admit what's wrong with a family member, and I never really had that problem. I think the biggest benefit that I got out of it was that it was a place where I could go to talk to people that understood, because they were all on a similar journey at some phase or another, and it helps to be able to tell what's bothering you to somebody that understands. And one of the, you know, sometimes, how do I say this? The people that you were associating with commonly prior to becoming a caregiver, they kind of tend to drift away from you because they don't really want to hear about it and they don't really understand it. So talking to them anymore isn't going to do any good. You get drawn into a support group and you're with a bunch of people who are in the same boat, let's say, and they understand each other. And talking to somebody that understands, I think, is critically important.
It's part of your new normal.
That's correct. Correct.
You know, you have a website connected to the book, which I don't always see, but I always appreciate when people do it. And it has a very familiar name. What's the name of the website, and what can we find in it?
It's it matches the book title. It's called AsMomFadesAway.com. It's a relatively simple site. It's, of course, got the book cover, and it's got a, I guess I'll call it the summary verbiage that I wrote that's on the back cover of the book. And it's also got links on it to the publisher's site if anybody wants to buy it.
But I felt more connected to your story, and even I really appreciate you put your mom on the cover because, like you say, it's a human-to-human interaction. It's not, we're not talking clinical analysis of the subject called caregiving. This is from the heart.
No, that's true. That is a simple family photograph that was taken in the nursing home in the spring of 2012. She was 90 years old at that time. The reason she's got a flower on her in that picture is that was the day of the Mother's Day reception, which is one of the two times a year I've ever seen an uptick in visitor traffic in the nursing home world, which is another topic again. But, I thought that picture said something about the two of us.
How did you recover your own sense of purpose when your caregiving was over?
The volunteer job had a lot to do with it. What I do in this local hospital is, some days pretty much mundane routine, but every once in a while we get into some fairly sensitive situations. Because let's face it, a hospital has got people walking into it that are sometimes under good circumstances and sometimes very difficult. And if you can help somebody out that's struggling on a given day, you can sit there and walk away and say, okay, I did my good deed for the day. And that's beneficial to me. That's been a big help.
Well, you know, I always say in caregiving, giving is really getting. The more you give, the more you support, the more you put yourself out there. It does seem like the more you get, the better you feel, the more you understand yourself.
Oh, I agree with that because it's the days that some of these quirky, difficult things happen, and I can feel like I did some good for somebody that was distressed for some reason or another. I feel better about things on those days. I really do. And it's actually, let's expand on that. It's the same thing with this caregiver support group. When we get some new people in there, and they're kind of struggling, and they're facing the same issues I faced X number of years ago. And if you can share some insights and help them learn a little bit, then, hey, all the better.
Ed, what is the one single most important piece of advice that you'd like to share with family caregivers?
Don't give up and take care of yourself. And
well, that's think, two, but I'll accept it.
You'll accept it. Okay. There are times when things get really, really rough, and you feel like you're beating your head against the wall. And I think most people are probably more resilient than they give themselves credit for. And you have to learn how to pick yourself up, dust yourself off, and start over. I think there was a song that said something about that many years ago. But in my case, when my mother would get in sundowner's mode once in a while and she'd be yelling at me about something, what it was, we had no idea. I caught hell some days, to put it plainly. And those were tough days. But you always knew that maybe tomorrow is going to be better. or maybe tomorrow is going to be neutral, so that's better in its own way. And learn how to roll with the flow. If they say that the sky is pink, the sky is pink. And if they say the grass is blue, the grass is blue. You have to learn how to keep your own sanity. Arguing with them doesn't do any good, and that has a negative effect on the overall objective of keeping the person comfortable and content. So you need to learn how to go along with things, as painful as that can be sometimes.